This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And first up, should schools ban junk food from canteens? Because in a letter to NST, a Dr. Victor David from Ames University is making that suggestion, highlighting that while the consumption of junk food may not be directly linked to diseases, it does weaken one's immunity, it deteriorates cognitive function. And specifically as to why he's talking about canteens, he pointed out that school is a place where parents can't watch over their children, and that a lot of children do use their pocket money to buy junk food. So this is an interesting point, and I think part of a larger conversation in some ways about healthy eating in schools and in the school canteen setting in particular. And if we look at some of the efforts that have been made in terms of supplying nutritious food to primary school students or to students in general, since the start of this year, Bernas and CSR actually have been collaborating with the Education Ministry and the Health Ministry on the Health Food Program, aiming to do exactly that, to supply nutritious food to primary school students nationwide, part of the government's efforts in tackling malnutrition among children and empowering the younger generation to consume more nutritious food. This was also an acknowledgement of the challenges that low-income parents face in supplying a balanced diet for their children. At the moment, it's been implemented in Kelantan, Terengganu and Kedah. And how it works is that selected schools are supplied with healthy meals every day for a period of 5 years, actually from this one, 2022 to 2026. There is, of course, alongside this, the Supplementary Food Program, which was first implemented in 1979. But this suggestion, of course, to actually ban junk food from canteens would be something separate to this, and I guess would just would be something that would be instated nationwide, if possible, if it were done. It's interesting, right? Because up until this point, it wasn't necessarily something that I would have considered. Maybe because I, like many other Malaysians growing up, considered the junk food in canteens kind of part and parcel of what schools offered. Maybe even a little bit of a reprieve from the tedium of class, the ability to have a nugget or some candy or what have you. And so I'm not, I guess, in general, the hugest fan of banning things outright. But yeah, it's an interesting point. Let us know. Do you think junk food should be banned from school canteens? Did you have a favourite snack when you were in school? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Joina Yeo, a consultant dietitian at the ABC Children's Specialist Clinic. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:10. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're asking a pretty simple question today. Should schools ban junk food from canteens? That's a suggestion that has been made in a letter to the NST, and we just took that and ran with it. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you think that it should be banned? And conversely, and maybe a bit perversely, I'm also asking, did you have a favourite snack when you were in school? Because I want to know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us today to talk about this is Joina Yeo, a consultant dietitian at the ABC Children's Specialist Clinic. Joina, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Nice to meet you guys.
So to start us off, I think it would be helpful to understand what we mean by junk food, right? So food like ice cream, snacks, fast food, they do often come to mind. But what exactly is defined as junk food?
Okay, so I believe everyone is very familiar with this word. Basically, junk food is typically used to describe food that is unhealthy and not nutritious. I think in some words, we also call these empty calories because they are usually very high in sugar and fat or both, and they usually do not have any good nutrients that we need for our body. So the good nutrients that we need for our body, such as fiber, protein, some healthy carbs, vitamins and minerals. So usually our junk food will not have any of these, and this is why we usually refer them as junk food, processed food, fast food, or empty calories. I think the name interchanges.
And generally speaking, how much of a child's diet is made up of junk food?
I think it will be very difficult to give an actual number. I think nobody does research on this, but if I see, like, based on my experience, I think every child may have, you know, some form of processed food or junk food in their diet. And then in this day and age, unfortunately, it's very difficult to avoid because there are many items that are processed or they are also called junk food that we don't realize, such as, you know, our fish balls and fish cakes. I think this is something that when I speak to parents, a lot of times they don't realize, oh, this is also a processed food. But yeah, so things like fish ball or fish cakes, unless they're homemade, usually the ones that you buy outside, they're mainly starch and carbohydrates and they don't really have much protein to help our children grow. Yeah, so I think that there's definitely one or two food in a day, or some children maybe from breakfast, lunch, dinner, it would be their whole meal as well that would have a junk food. Or some children are they can be very fixated, like maybe they only eat this small amount of food, like among the picky eaters. There are doctors who have shared with me where there's one child who would not eat anything besides like the fried chicken from this place. So every single day without fail, the parents would have to do that. So I think it's very extreme. Some like very little, as much as we can avoid it, there would definitely still be a little, you know, fast food or junk food in their diet. And then after to the extreme, some is like every single meal also, there would be some form of junk food.
So as a dietitian who works with children, right, just based on your observations, not necessarily a formal study, what can you tell us about children's eating habits in Malaysia?
I think generally children in Malaysia do not eat enough vegetables in general. And I think that recently we can see that when they did the National Health and Morbidity Survey in 2019, we actually did see an increase in the prevalence of obesity as well. In 2015, if I'm not mistaken, it was 11.9%. And then recently in 2019, it was 14.8%. So we do see an increasing trend. Yeah, and I think it's very important because how they eat now and as children will actually affect how they will eat in adulthood as well. Like if you guys had your favorite childhood snack, you will always eat it like until adulthood as well. And then I think we also see a trend that a lot of children do not eat breakfast. Yeah, a lot of times maybe they'll just go to school, and then when they go to school at the canteen, there are actually not many nutritious options for them, or either they would just skip I think it's pretty common that they would skip recess and go and play with their friends. So actually eating breakfast is not their priority or not something that is normal among Malaysian kids.
Before I get to my next question, We do have a WhatsApp message from Ling who wants to know, is dehydrated vegetables considered junk food?
Okay, so if you're making it yourself, usually it's not. Like, you know that it's mainly made out of vegetables. But I think nowadays in the market, there are a lot of dehydrated fruits and vegetables or baked chips that we don't know what else they put inside. So I think for parents, what's important is we must read the ingredient list. So just a tip out there, that if you were to read the ingredient list is usually listed in the order of the quantity. So let's say if it's a vegetable, let's say a broccoli chip, so the first ingredient should be broccoli. You don't want the first ingredient to be flour or maybe some fillers or sweeteners or flavorings and so on.
And if we come back then to the argument that this letter is putting out, do you agree with it? Do you think junk food should be banned from canteens?
Yes, of course. Actually, to be honest, the Ministry of Health did release like a policy or a notice that actually canteen sellers are not allowed to sell junk food. They're not allowed to sell junk food, alcoholic beverages, caffeine beverages and so on. So these are among the things that are not allowed to be sold. So I think like we definitely need stricter monitoring. By right, they shouldn't be selling all this.
I also wanted to touch on this, right? Because this is a phrase that I hear a lot when I speak with nutritionists, dietitians, which is everything in moderation.
Yes.
So how does junk food then fit into that? What role does it actually play in a kid's diet? I mean, accepting that it's empty calories and not the most nutritious, why is it there then?
I think, you know, food is meant to be enjoyed. Definitely, it's very difficult to, you know, remove junk food from your child's diet. Even if you don't offer it at home, when he goes to birthday parties or when he goes to school, he will see it. And then the peer pressure from friends and so on, that would entice them to eat it as well. So I think, first and foremost, we shouldn't put junk food on a pedestal. Like all these unhealthy foods, we shouldn't say, oh no, these are for special occasions or these are special treats. Or we should still put it at the same level as healthy food. And we should educate our child how to make the better judgment. So depending on the age, usually I will actually advise the parents on how to educate the child. But for example, if we were to compare ice cream and yogurt, so you can tell the child, okay, both ice cream and yogurt do give you enough energy to do your daily tasks, but ice cream only gives you energy, whereas yogurt gives you protein to build strong muscle, so you can be a strong boy, strong girl. The yogurt also gives you calcium, then it helps you to build stronger bones, you grow taller, and then it also helps you with better digestion. It makes going poo-poo easier, or, you know, it makes your digestion better. Depending on the age, like, we do alter this, so we want to actually help our children make the better better judgment. We don't want to tell them, no, you cannot eat this. Or I think a mistake that we tend to do as parents also is that, oh, if you eat this broccoli, I will give you ice cream. So try not to do that as well, because then they will say that, oh, broccoli is just something that I just have to eat to get my ice cream. But rather, you want to put it on the same level. Like some parents do actually also offer like the maybe a piece of chocolate together with a plate full of vegetables and then protein and some carbs as well. So you could play around with that. And you can see that if you don't put the food on the pedestal, the children actually don't want it as much because it's not special anymore. So try to make junk food not special. And I think for us growing up in our generation, we do see a pattern of if parents were to bring us out for celebrations and parties, it's always at, you know, fast food joints. Like they always have like parties and so on. So try to shift this focus and try to make happy memories by, you know, making healthy food at home. Things like junk food like burgers, sausages, nuggets and pizzas. Those are things that you could also do yourself at home. So if you were to make healthy pizzas at home with your family, with your kids, you will actually build the happy memories of them growing up thinking, oh, my mom's pizza is the best, my dad's pizza is the best. Just as how like we grew up thinking, oh, my grandma's curry is the best, my mom's like chicken dish is the best and so on.
So the tricky thing here, right, and not just for children, but for adults also, is that junk food is literally manufactured and designed to be pleasurable to eat, to be addictive. That's why it tastes the way it does. That's why it has the sugar amount or the salt amount that it does. How can you account for that, especially within the context of a child's eating habits where there might be less self-control because you're not yet at that age where you're being told, you know, you need to worry about your health?
I think that's where, well, like what we mentioned, to make your own, all this junk food, you can always make a healthier version at home. Like you can make healthier ice cream by using yogurt and fruits, and then you can freeze them at home. So if your child knows, oh, there's your ice cream that mommy made or daddy made at home, so that would definitely be more nutritious. And they would say like, oh, this ice cream has, you know, some protein, it has some fiber from the fruit and so on. So they know like this is healthier. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, again, that like we mentioned, making pizzas at home, making nuggets and so on. Those are things that you can have at home, because I think that the way the food manufacturer is to be make it easy, right? They want to also minimize their costs, and then the other things actually goes inside. But actually how we can do it is we can make our own versions of many things, and then we can introduce that to our kids so they know that, okay, when they go to school, if let's say they had pizza at home, when they go to school and they see pizza, it's not going to be something, oh, wow, I want this. You know, it's not on a pedestal, like it's not something special, you know, it's just like, oh, I also can have pizza at home, so I wouldn't have pizza outside.
My next two questions are actually related. So firstly, a WhatsApp message from an anonymous listener who says, is noodles considered a junk food?
Okay, so it depends what type of noodles that you are giving your child, or what type of noodles are you referring to. So instant noodles would be a type of junk food, because instant noodles are actually deep fried beforehand. So that's why it has a longer shelf life. Whereas what you can actually substitute it with is maybe flour-based noodles or your pastas. And then if you can, try to find a whole grain option. So whole grain would be things like brown rice, bihun, wholemeal pasta. And some brands now have whole grain noodles and so on. So those would be the healthier option. Because when we come to choose our carbs, if we choose simple carbs like white rice versus brown rice, so white rice will give you just carbohydrates. It gives you short amounts of energy. Whereas if you choose brown rice, it gives you fiber, gives you vitamins and also carbohydrates. So you will actually feel hungry slower, like it will keep you full longer and you have more nutrition as well.
My follow-up to that then is that, I don't know, I have friends who have children who are picky eaters, right? And then they're also told, you know, it's better for them to eat something rather than nothing. So if all they like is noodles, all they like is, I don't know, macaroni and cheese, or they only like fish balls, then that's better than nothing. So I suppose in the context of this conversation about junk food, about children, what can we do about picky eaters?
Okay. I've met many picky eaters like that. So I would say like they are my favorite group to tackle, because I can always find something to, you know, modify. So for example, mac and cheese, you can actually add cauliflower in there. In the mix, I would usually tackle and I would actually troubleshoot with the parents on what we can do at home and how we can put in the vegetables. You can put cauliflower, you can put pumpkin, you can put sweet potato in the sauce. Like your children won't really know what goes inside at least. But we don't want to hide it to them. We want to say, oh, this mac and cheese is special today because it has a special friend, like the cauliflower or the pumpkin. Yeah. And then when it comes to nuggets, you know, instead of just giving them the store-bought nuggets, what I would do is I would actually suggest to them to, you know, make your own nuggets. You can put sweet potato inside and you can use fresh chicken. chicken. Yeah, and then you can also include your child. So when it comes to picky eaters, they're very picky about the shape or the type of food as well. Like maybe they only want nuggets from a certain place. So for children like that, I will actually get them to make the nuggets at home. So you can buy cookie cutters and, you know, make nuggets into dinosaurs, little cars, little men, and so on. So I find that that has worked very well among picky eaters. So I do want to encourage parents to explore like different things like burgers, pizzas, nuggets, all these things that once to attract your child, they are made to attract your child. You can also make it at home. And I'm sure that mommy and daddy's version would definitely be better.
So when it comes to impact or effect, what happens with long-term junk food intake, especially when it's consumed regularly during a child's formative years?
So when it comes to junk food, because it's a very wide area, I think when we talk about the empty calories, you know, the lack in nutrition and all, and the high calories and the high sugar and high fat, all these things will actually lead to long-term health issues. Like it will lead you to weight gain and cause a child to be overweight, and it will cause you to have maybe higher risk of diabetes, heart diseases, you know, high blood pressure and so on. I think nowadays we do see that there is a younger age for those people who have these kind of diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, and so on. And, you know, it's very alarming because 1 in 2 Malaysians are obese. So, you know, if our kids are on track with this junk food kind of lifestyle, then it might be, you know, just 100% or maybe 99.99% of Malaysians are overweight. So we don't want that. And I think it's very important to know that what they eat now as kids will actually shape how they eat later on. Like, for example, maybe if we grew up not having burgers at home, but we know that, you know, we had burgers at school. So we know like, oh, that's something that you grew up eating until your adulthood. But rather, if let's say they knew that how you can make healthier burgers at home, you can make healthier fries, nuggets, and so on, like they will grow up and then they will teach their children the same thing.
With all this in mind, what kind of food would you like to see served in school canteens?
Oh, definitely more vegetables. I think in the past few school visits that I have been to, I don't see enough vegetables. I think vegetables can be made fun for kids, and I think it does need a little bit more effort. And instead of things like chips, you can also replace it with popcorn, definitely more fruits. And then instead of ice cream, they could serve yogurt with fruit. And then for bread, they could use a wholemeal bread instead of the white bread. So a lot of little switches or swaps that they could do in school.
So I know this isn't across the board, but I mean, even in the examples, a lot of the healthier alternatives are unfortunately more expensive. Price of vegetables also going up. Mm-mm. So how can canteens take that into account?
I think they can really consider large batch cooking. So for example, you can actually kind of balance off the cost. Like if you were to buy like the processed nuggets in packages, how much would that be compared to if you buy fresh chicken in bulk and then maybe put things like sweet potato inside to as a filler and so on. And then you can make it in large batches. And then when you want to cook it, you can actually, you know, bake it or pan fry it instead of deep frying it. Number one, you can reduce the amount of oil you use as well. And then you can have like more nutritious option for the kids. And maybe your sweet potato nuggets will sell better compared to your normal nuggets too, because they might be in better shapes, you know, in cute shapes that kids like. Yeah. I think we also need to help the canteen sellers have a little bit more marketing. Like the food does have to be more enticing. It has, maybe it can look like an animal, or maybe it could be a certain shape and so on. So I think there are ways to go about it. And I think when it comes to cost, from a consumer point of view, do we want to, you know, cut down the amount of money that we spend on food, or do we want to pay a higher cost in medical fees later on? Like as parents, we also don't want our children to grow up sick. We don't want to see them sick. So I think it's very important to see where our money goes and spend more money on the nutritious food that will promote your health rather than worsen your health, so that, you know, you reduce your medical fees in the long run.
So what would you like to see then on a policy level to encourage healthy eating for children?
I think the policies are in place. There are rules that where, you know, what food is not being sold, what food should not be sold in schools and so on. But perhaps there need to be maybe stricter monitoring. And, you know, for canteen operators, feel free to also reach out to nutritionists or dietitians. There are some that are also working in the food service sector, and they can help you either freelance basis or full-time basis. They can also help you to plan a meal. And definitely cost is something that we also look into.
Joanna, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Joanna Yeo, a consultant dietitian at the ABC Children's Specialist Clinic, speaking about junk food and the possibility of banning them from school canteens, which is the question we're asking you. Should they be banned? And also, did you have a favourite snack when you were in school? I recognise that it's a bit contradictory, but yes, anyway. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have so many messages coming in, mostly in support, I will say. se, although there are some interesting contrarian points as well. So we'll come back for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.